Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
One thing that's true about almost everyone in our culture is that we all have a full schedule. Everybody's busy, right? We're an incredibly busy people. Even our children are busy. Even our kids have full schedules. Our lives jammed full of activities of every kind and relationships. I mean, we are just full. We have so much. And most of it is stuff and activities and relationships that we have because we went after that stuff because it seemed good to us. We wanted it. Another thing we all have in common is we all go through times of feeling empty on the inside, ironically. We have all these activities and our schedules are jammed to the minute full, and yet we all have had those times when our soul is just kind of restless, you know, we just don't feel quite right. The joy isn't there. We look around at all we have and we see all our stuff and we're like, I should be happy. I should be thrilled. I should be full of joy, but I'm bored. I'm just kind of not happy. Judging from all the stuff that I've got, my life should be full of joy, but instead there's so many times I just feel empty. You know how sometimes you're laying in bed and you just can't get comfortable? You know, you're just kind of squirming around, you're turning, tossing and everything, and you can't get comfortable. That same thing sometimes happens to our souls. We just can't rest. No matter what we do, no matter what activity we do, we're just kind of unhappy, unfulfilled. No matter how well work is going, no matter how many friends you have, no matter how much fun you're having, soul is just restless and agitated and you can't get comfortable. Why is that? What is that? What's happening there? How come sometimes my heart is full, other times, even though I have all the same circumstances, same stuff, same relationships, my heart's not full? I'm joyless, empty, bored, lonely, weary, depressed, unfulfilled, just kind of empty in some way. Why does that happen? The longings and groanings of dissatisfaction in the human soul are what the Bible calls hunger and thirst. Spiritual hunger and thirst. Just like your body has hunger and thirst, your soul has hunger and thirst. And whatever it is that you think will cure that feeling is what you are hungry and thirsty for in your life. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and they will be filled. Keep in mind here, this promise is not pronounced on the righteous. He doesn't say, blessed are the righteous. It's pronounced on the hungry. You'd be better off with any other disease or any other disorder. You'd be better off with leprosy, better off with cancer, better off with AIDS, better off with any of that than have the fatal disease of distorted appetite. Because when you crave the very things that destroy your life, you're doomed. You're doomed. But blessed are those who crave the things that bring real joy. Oh, when you got your appetite right, so the very thing you want is the very thing that brings you joy, and then you have it made. And it's just so sad when people have to learn that the hard way. They spend their whole life chasing one thing after another, thinking that they're going to find happiness, they're going to find contentment, they're going to find fulfillment, and it's always just out of their reach, it's just around the corner, and the next thing you know, they're at the end of their lives, and they realize, wow, none of it worked. They're spending all they have on the bread which won't satisfy. And they just won't believe that truth until they've tried it and found that it doesn't work. But by then, so often it's too late. I love C.S. Lewis' statement. He said, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. It's a blessed man who discovers that before it's too late. Blessed are those who crave the things that bring life and joy. And I use that word crave for a reason, because hunger and thirst is stronger than just desire. If you compare the times when Scripture talks about desire to the number of times it talks about hunger and thirst, it doesn't talk about hunger and thirst that often comparatively. It uses those terms when it's talking about a very powerful drive. Hunger and thirst is more than just desire. It's a drive. They cannot be denied for long. You can desire, you know, a piece of cake and deny it for you, but you can't. But the hunger for food will drive you, and it can't be denied for very long. Hunger and thirst are drives that compel action and control decisions in your lives. And beyond that, it's also another thing about using that metaphor of hunger and thirst is it points to something that sustains your life. It gives you life. You know, if I fulfill a desire, that may or may not benefit me, but and I might get some pleasure and nothing else, but eating and drinking do a lot more than just provide pleasure, right? I mean, they do provide pleasure, but they also nourish and energize and strengthen and refresh and give joy, and give strength to the body. So hungering and thirsting for righteousness is more than just wanting to be righteous. It's needing to be righteous. See that? He didn't say, blessed are those who want to be righteous. He said, blessed are those who have the attitude of the soul that says, I have to be righteous or I'll die. I've got to have it. And I'll do anything to get it. A desire for something is something you'd a desire is something you'd like to have. Hunger and thirst is something you have to have. It's a need for something that you consider a staple of life. So blessed are those who need to be righteous. Blessed are those who have deep craving and thirst to have love in their hearts for God and for people. Blessed are those who need to have joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Blessed are those people who need to have wisdom and humility and faith and spiritual maturity and discernment. And purity and servanthood and mercy and compassion and godly affections and integrity and honesty and generosity and alertness and strength and perseverance. All the virtues in Scripture. Blessed are those who have to have all that. They just feel the need for it. It's not something you'll get around to one of these days. You're going to work on it. It's not something you can be postponed. It can't be placed beneath some other urgent priority. It is no ifs, ands, or buts. You've got to have it. And the reason you got to have it is because it's like food and water to your soul. Being righteous is your sustenance and enables you to function. You can't, just like you can't go to work, you can't do anything if you don't have physical food and water. So it is with this. Without righteous character, you can't carry on the daily tasks of your life because everything you're doing as a citizen of the kingdom is bound up in righteousness. Requires righteousness. As a Christian, everything you do requires righteousness. I mean, why do you do what you do? Why do you go to work? You do it to accomplish kingdom purposes, right? Why do you get married or stay single? You do that to accomplish kingdom purposes. Why do you do everything you do? You do it for the kingdom, and so all the things you're trying to do in life are absolutely short-circuited if you don't have righteousness. You got to have it just to get through life. You need righteousness to accomplish what you accomplish every day and night with your family and your marriage, at work, at home, and church, when you're by yourself, every part of life. You got to have it. But one more question. Why do we crave righteousness? Righteousness involves some hard stuff. It involves saying no to the impulses of the flesh that can be so pleasurable, right? Righteousness causes the world to persecute you. We're going to find that out in the last beatitude. Someone on the outside looking in says, man, I can maybe picture being willing to be righteous, but craving it? I don't get that. People in the world will see that. They say, I don't get that. Why do you want it so much? Why do you want this thing that makes you say no to all these pleasures and get persecuted and everything else? Remember at the very beginning when we were defining righteousness, the last part, I told you there's five parts of that definition. I only went through four of them. The fifth part answers this question. Righteousness is the life that shows you to be a person who has God's approval and favor. That's what makes us crave it. We don't crave it because we just want to do better at meeting our goals. We crave it because we want everything to be right between us and God. We crave righteousness because we crave nearness to God. We don't want anything to hinder intimacy with Him. You study hungering and thirsting in Scripture, and at first it seems like this verse is out of place. When I first started studying this week, I was like, it's a little bit out of place, because everywhere else in Scripture talks about hunger and thirst. It's always hunger and thirst for God, hunger and thirst for intimacy with God, nearness to God, God's presence. And this one time, it's different. It's hunger and thirst for something else. That's the way it seemed to me at first glance. But when I studied, I realized, once I studied what righteousness is, I realized that it's not different at all. We hunger and thirst for righteousness because we long to be right with God. We crave His favor. It's the same thing. It's hunger and thirst for God. Our thirst is a thirst to draw near to God. Just like Psalm 42, verse 1, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go meet with God? Psalm 63, 1, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So our thirst is thirst to draw near to Him. You know, that's what the thirst of the soul is. It's thirst for the presence of God. You know, when you feel like agitated and unhappy and discontented and all that I described before, there's only one solution to that. There's only one solution to that. It's the nearness of God's presence. It's the only thing that makes that feeling go away. It's the only thing that brings a sense of real satisfaction. You can get some pleasures in this life that'll temporarily distract you from that feeling, but there's only one thing that'll fulfill it. It's the presence of God. So that's what the hunger and thirst of your soul is. If you think something else will solve it, your taste buds are twisted around, because there's only one thing that will actually satisfy that thirst. It's the nearness and presence of God. You say, well, who can draw near to God? Who's allowed to be in His presence? Psalm 15:1, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He who does what is righteous. That's why we crave righteousness. We don't crave it so we can impress everybody with our lives. We crave it because we crave the presence of God, because that's the only thing that will satisfy the thirst of the human soul. That's why when you're restless and agitated and uncomfortable, your favorite things in this world sometimes don't even work. Sometimes things that you think will bring you joy, they don't bring joy, because if the presence of God isn't being expressed through those things, then they don't work. If those things, your favorite things in life, if they really were true, food and water for your soul, if they really did satisfy, if they really did bring joy, they would always work. Every time, 100% of the time, if they were real food and real drink. They're not. That's why sometimes they don't work. The only time it seems like, only reason why sometimes it seems like they work is because God grants His grace through those things and you actually experience His presence. But His presence is the only thing that will satisfy the thirst of the soul. Augustine said, you have formed us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. That's really true. And if that's you, if your heart craves righteousness, a life that enables nearness to God, enables you to approach God, blessed are you, because that desire will be satisfied. It will. And once again, it's exclusive. They and they alone will be filled. Only those people. Righteousness is given only to the hungry, only to the thirsty. No one else is saved. No one else can be in the kingdom. No one who doesn't have this appetite can be in. But on the other hand, everyone who has this hunger and thirst will be satisfied. Isn't that amazing? Nobody thirsts for righteousness and doesn't get it. Isn't that amazing? There's never a time when someone craves righteousness and doesn't get filled with righteousness by God and satisfied. Ah, is that incredible news? I mean, sometimes we, you know, you see the big city of the kingdom of God, and we want to get in, and there's eight gates, you know, these eight beatitudes, and we go to the martyr's gate. Blessed are those who are persecuted. It's like, oh man, I don't measure up there. Blessed are the gentle. Oh, it's fall so short there. And we're getting turned away from all these gates. Here's a gate we can go in. Oh, I just wish I were merciful. I wish I were gentle. I wish I had meekness. I crave it. Then you can go in this gate. Everyone who hungers and thirsts for righteousness gets righteousness. And it's an amazing kind of hunger and thirst, because the more you satisfy it, the hungrier you get. It's a hunger that increases with the very act of satisfying it. I heard one preacher call it insatiable satisfaction. That's a good phrase. Insatiable satisfaction. In the physical realm, you know, you're hungry, you get satisfaction, you're no longer hungry, right? It goes away. That's the curse of Thanksgiving, in my opinion. I eat for a while, then my hunger's gone, but I'm not done eating. You can only enjoy physical food so much, and eventually you have to stop enjoying it. We try, you know, we go out of our ways to try and make sure we're hungry before a big meal like that. Why? You know, we don't want to spoil our appetite. Why? I mean, hunger is uncomfortable. Hunger is pain. It's discomfort. Why would we make ourselves hungry? Well, we do that because the hungrier you are, the more enjoyable the meal is. And the longer you eat, the less you enjoy it because you lose your hunger. But feasting on God and His righteousness are different. The more you feast, the greater your hunger, so that the joy just keeps increasing the more it's fulfilled. God keeps supplying more and more, and you just keep enjoying it more. You keep wanting it more. I just think of Moses. You know, Moses, he had some experiences with the presence of God, right? I mean, he saw the burning bush. He's standing there in front of the burning bush, listening to the voice of God speak audibly out of that thing. He saw the awesome miracles of the plagues and the awesome miracles of the Exodus. He's parting the Red Sea. He saw a pillar of fire, a pillar of cloud. He saw manna come down from heaven. He saw water come out of a rock and feed a million people or satisfy an entire nation. God spoke to Moses face to face, unlike any other prophet. I mean, he had these incredible experiences. And yet when the time came for him to make a request of God, what did he say? God, show me your glory. I just want to see some more. And God says, I think you've seen quite enough. Ask for something else. No. He showed him even another display of himself, revealed himself to Moses even further. And when that process is taking place, one of the greatest assurances of salvation in there.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are a crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.